Our scripture reading can be found in the Gospel according to St. Luke in chapters 8 and 24. Just three verses in chapter 8 at the beginning, and then we move to chapter 24, verses 1 to 10. Let us hear the word of God. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. Chapter 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly 2 men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. Amen. And we know that God will further bless this, the reading of his word. Excuse me. Over the past number of weeks, with Norman and with Rowan, you have been looking at various women of the Bible. For example, Deborah, Hannah, Tamar. I think Norman did all three of those. And then Rowan was looking at Mary, the mother of Jesus. And last Sunday, he looked at Priscilla. About 4 weeks ago, PW asked me to speak to them, and that I knew that you were doing the named women of the Bible here on a Sunday morning, I thought I would take one of the unnamed women to speak to the ladies of the PW. Now, why some people in the Bible are named and some are not named, well, only the Lord Almighty knows the reason for that. But today, I want us to look again at one of the named ladies of the Bible, the woman named Joanna. You all know about her, don't you? Very famous lady. Oh, you haven't heard of her before, perhaps. Only 2 verses in the whole of the Bible mention this lady's name, and we've already read them in St. Luke chapter 8, verse 2, and in chapter 24, verse 9, I think it is, verse 10. Joanna was the wife of Cusa, C-H-U-Z-A, and he was manager of the household of Herod Antipas. In effect, she was a society lady. There are other instances in the scriptures of Jesus speaking to what would have been termed low category women. This was a senior lady of the country with all the society razzmatazz that a lady of her position would have had, having access, of course, to Herod's courts. Probably she gave Luke, who wrote this gospel account, the inside information regarding the working of Herod's house. Dr. Luke is the only writer of the gospel accounts who mentions this lady by name. The other writers refer to others or other women who were disciples of the Lord Jesus and who attended to him. Luke may have known Joanna or made contact with her in some way, and this may well account for the fact that the story of Christ's appearance before Herod is found only in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 23, verses 6 to 12. The beloved physician, as Luke was known, his book has been called the Gospel of Womanhood, which is rather appropriate for this Mother's Day. For the Saviour's tender and profound regard, these women come to the fore in this gospel account more clearly than in any of the others. And so we come this morning to this one briefly, very briefly mentioned character in Scripture. In many ways, a much unsung heroine of her time. And yet, though only mentioned twice in the whole of the Bible, and that by Luke, her name is immortally inscribed among those who love Christ, whose love for Christ outshone all else in life, and who can, I believe, teach us a lot about discipleship. We are reliably informed that the Countess of Huntingdon, who lived from 1707 to 1791, was fond of quoting Paul's statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. With the emphasis, of course, as far as she was concerned, on the phrase, not many noble are called. Had Paul stated, not any noble are called, then the Countess might have not been so keen to join the ranks of the Christian community of her day. But thank God she did. Her name was Selina Haskins. And George Whitfield, a great 18th century evangelist who lived at the same time as Selina Haskins, described this lady as all in a flame for Jesus. All in a flame for Jesus. I wonder, could any of us have that name today? That all, we're all in a flame for Jesus. But clearly, the Countess of Huntingdon did come to Jesus, and she did find Christ as her Saviour. And I'm sure she would have welcomed an opportunity to have spoken to Joanna, who was in effect the wife of Herod's prime minister. And both ladies would surely have had much in common to talk about. The Hebrew name of this woman, who was numbered among Christ's disciples, means Jehovah has found or shown favor, or simply the Lord is grace. And it was because Jesus Christ showed favor to Joanna that she rose up and followed him. There are three things that I would like us to think about concerning the life of Joanna. And the first is, you'll see it on the screen coming up, her deliverance by Christ. We read in St. Luke 8, chapter 2, And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. When we're looking at Mary Magdalene, for example, we note that her name usually comes first in the lists of women so mentioned, those who were near to Jesus. It's most suggestive, too, that the name of this eminent woman, Joanna, is usually second on that list of lady disciples, at least second as far as Luke was concerned, because he's the only one who mentions her by name. We find that she was delivered either of evil spirits, like Mary Magdalene was, or healed of some illness. But this is not clear, and it's not really important either. The important thing is that we do know that a great sense of need had brought her to Jesus and to her Savior. Because of her position in society and her prosperity, she had access to the very best of medical skill and treatment. That clearly had not worked or been successful, and so she comes to Jesus for help. It's important, too, to note that high in society as she was, she did not let that stop her from humbly coming to Christ and seeking deliverance. And friends, that is what each of us needs to do, to come humbly, without airs and graces, without pretense, to him. Some people are too proud to come to him. We might lose face with certain people if we identified ourselves with him. What a lie of Satan that is. Joanna did not mind what face she lost. And if coming to Jesus meant she would be freed from her burden, she would gladly go. And she did. And Jesus healed her. Not only did he heal her, he delivered her. He set her free from her burden of sin, as well as her burden of sickness. Her deliverance by Christ. But secondly, we note her devotion to Christ. Cusa, Joanna's husband, was, I'm quite sure, delighted that her condition had been cured. But it's doubtful whether he was prepared for what was to follow. His master, King Herod, did not like Jesus, and the evil influences of court life would not have been helpful to anyone whose interests were with Jesus, the Savior. It was one thing to go to Jesus on a one-off visit and receive the healing she needed, but to remain with him and become a disciple, a devoted disciple, well, that was quite another thing. The fact that she ministered to Jesus, helped to prepare meals, did mundane tasks of daily life, which should have been really well below her station in life, seemed that she was disgracing her position. And it's certain, too, that Herod would not have approved. Tradition has it that Cusa lost his position in Herod's palace because of his wife's conversion to Christianity and because of her courageous testimony among Herod's servants. But that made no difference to Joanna. That did not deflect her desire to serenely follow her Lord, and her devotion increased in intensity as each day passed. Because of what Christ had done for her, she devoted herself to the service of her Master, and she gave liberally of her substance, of which she presumably had plenty, and she witnessed for him. Excuse me. Her deliverance by Christ, her devotion to Christ, and thirdly, her dependability for Christ. That statement begs the question, does it not? Are we dependable? Are you dependable? Am I dependable? When it became clear that Jesus was to be sentenced to death, many of his followers, left him. And finally, only a few were left to witness his death. And among the few, and it has to be said, mostly women. And like Joanna, her heart must have been torn with anguish as she witnessed her beloved Lord going to the cross in agony. And she and these other women cared for her, for his body, and ministered to him while he was alive. She continues her ministry of love as his body is still cold in death. Herbert Lockyer says, "Too many save their flowers for the grave. Joanna gave hers to Jesus when he was alive and could appreciate them." But she did not let her devotion fade even after his death. For we read in Luke chapter 23, verse 55, "And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath day according to the commandment." Excuse me. "Then on the Sunday, the first day of the week, as Luke has it in chapter 24, verse 1, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared." Who were these women? We're not told all their names, but in chapter 24, verse 10, we read, "It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them, who returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all those present." Here was dependability personified. Dependable in their faith, in their faithful devotion to their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But also dependable in their relay of the good news, their missionary keenness to let others know that Jesus was no longer dead, but that he was alive forevermore. Dependability is a great characteristic, and it is exemplified in the lives of these brave women. Peter and countless others have since believed the word of these women, that Christ was alive forevermore. What greater epitaph could anyone have than that which describes Joanna? Among the last at the cross, among the first at the empty tomb, among the first to proclaim that the Lord whom she had so dearly loved was risen indeed. How much the cause of Christ owes to this consecrated woman, Joanna, and the others with her. But what about you and me, my friend? Have you been delivered by Christ? Set free from your sin? Are you a devoted servant of the Savior? Do you love him who first loved you? Am I dependable? Are we reliable? Are we an asset to the cause of Christ? Let us take our example from Joanna and people like her, and let us sing with them the words of the hymn, "All for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my being's ransomed powers, all my thoughts and words and doings, all my days and all my hours. Let my hands perform his bidding. Let my feet run in his ways. Let my eyes see Jesus only. Let my lips speak forth his praise." Oh, what wonder! How amazing! Jesus, glorious King of Kings, deigns to call me his beloved. Lets me rest beneath his wings. Delivered, devoted, dependable. Let's pray together. Lord, we pray that you would take these words, indeed take your word, much more important, that you would bless that word to our hearts, that you would cause us to look at our lives, to see where we stand as disciples, or if we're not even a disciple, may these thoughts cause us to become one who is delivered, one who is devoted, one who is dependable for Jesus' sake, for his praise, for his glory, and for his honor, we pray. Amen.